Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha, Om Shri Saraswatyai Namaha, Om Samasta Jana Kalyane Niratam Karunamayam Namami Chinmayam Devam Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram.
Now we have to see from number 22. Swarupam eva me sattvam, from that verse. Please try to repeat these lines. In the beginning, if you remember, when Lakshmidhara Kavi started out, he started telling Anantananda Krishnaya in invocation, but in the next verse, Satchidananda Lakshanam. My Nitya is Satchit Ananda. Now this Satchidananda, which was discussed previously again after that, is now again taken up because, look here, there is nothing else to discuss. There is only self, isn't it? There is only the self. What else is there? There is one Atman. And whichever way we can look at that from whichever standpoint and all that, again, the discussion is brought back to that. Satchidananda, my own nature. So here, in these next three verses, first one Sat, the next one Chit, and then Ananda tells how I am that and nothing but that. It is called as equating, you know. We talk about Brahman, we talk about Atma, or we talk about the Absolute Reality and the individual. But how are they? Yes. The bringing together of both of them. Swarupam eva me sattvam. Natu dharmo navasvat. Madanyasya sato bhavat. Nahi sajjati rishyate. Swarupam eva me sattvam. My nature, my very nature, is existence. My nature is existence. Natu dharma navastvavat. Existence, you see, language also have limitations, you know. With language we have to be very careful and go slowly. My nature, so when I say my nature is existence, it still feels like there is me, and then I have a nature, isn't it? There's just a limitation of language. I am existence, we have to say. And that is closer. That has limitations also, but that is closer. I am existence. It is not that existence is a quality. Natu dharmaha. It is not a quality or trait. You know, like the sky, say navastvat, means like the sky. Now see, the sky when you look up, right? Space. It looks blue, correct or not? Really, is the sky blue? No. Not that you see it is blue, that it looks like, and that it is blue. I told you in beginning previously, what we see, we still have to apply our intellect to what we see, isn't it? Because the eyes will misguide us. The eyes tell us that the moon is this size and all that sort of thing. Huh? So not everything that we see, not everything that meets the eye is true. You see? So, when we see the moon this size, then we apply our intellect. No. We know from previous experience that anything is far away, it looks smaller, isn't it? Just by the eyes alone, if we look, we'll conclude it is this size. When we apply intellect to what we have just seen, then we conclude, no, I do not think it is this small. One fellow, this big airline company, they sent out tender notice. We want to paint all our planes. How much would you charge for painting our planes? One man sent back, we'll charge 20 million to paint all of those planes. Another said, we'll charge 19 million. Other, 22 million. One fellow wrote, we'll charge $500 to paint your planes. So that other one said, $500? Oh, you'll paint all those planes in $500. Oh, nothing, we'll wait till it goes up in the sky and becomes small. And one brush. We know from ordinary experience, you know. that when it is far away, it looks small. So that's when we apply our previous knowledge and we apply intellect to what the eyes see. Like that. So now in the same way, we came to find out the space is not blue. Blueness is not a quality of space. What is quality of space? Spaceness. Now, what is the difference between space and spaceness? One and same. Spaceness is quality. Navastvavat. In the space, quality is spaceness. So, Brahman's quality is existence or Brahmanness, if you want to say. No problem. Brahmanness. Atmanness. Atmanis is quality. It is not like, see, a guna or quality here, dharma word is used. They're used interchangeably. Just now, guna will come also. Guna and dharma, they're used interchangeably. The dharma of something or the guna of something, right? It means that that is something which is added on to that. Like this thing, blackness has nothing to do with its function, isn't it? Its nature. Blackness has nothing to do with its nature. Whether black, brown, blue, yellow, any color, it will perform the same job. Yes, same task. So, blackness is just a guna we have added on. And what the verse is trying to remind us, very simple thing. Existence is not a guna we have added on to Atma or Self. Its nature is existence. Huh? That is the idea. Mat anyasya sataha abhava nahi. Sat jati rishyate. That there is no, besides me, there is no existence in the universe. We had seen that previously. When there is my existence, then all other things follow in the wake of my existence. This is a very simple line of thought, actually. Because if I were not there, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not talking about you now. You have to think from your side. If I were not there, nothing is there. First, I have to be there, then everything else is there. My existence is required for the existence of my entire universe, my universe. Just like the one on the bed is required for his whole dream world. If he's not there, for the bed will dream or what? There has to be somebody there to do the dreaming. In the very same way, this whole universe of mine is only based on me. The buck stops with me. Some president had said, no. The buck stops here. Like that. So, only in the wake of my existence, everything exists. Without me, there is abhava of any existence. Now, and we had seen previous. I exist or not? I exist. Because I exist, all other things exist. And therefore, all other things also must be made up of existence only. But the idea is, my nature, swarupam eva. This swarupa word is used now. You have to pay attention to. There is something called swarupa. Then there is something called guna or dharma. All things will have swarupa. And then they will have guna or dharma. Guna dharma falls in the realm of name and form. Yes. And swarupa falls in the realm of existence. And there is no second category. It says here, nahi sat jati rishyate. There is no other thing in the universe beside existence. What a wonderful thing. There is no second thing in the universe besides existence. Then the easy way to prove that is, this exists? I told yes. This exists? Yes. The space in between exists? Yes. This has edges. Edges exist? Yes. Acha, show me something that doesn't exist. You see the contradiction in terms, isn't it? You can't show a thing that doesn't exist. You say, yes, yes, yes. The horns on my head. They don't exist. Who told? How you started talking about it? How did you start talking about the horns on my head? Well, first you imagined it, isn't it? First, you have to conceptualize it, and then you speak about it. So it exists as a concept. The horns exist as a concept. Then you spoke about, you verbalized the concept. So existence is the one and only thing in the universe. Everything, you know what he say in mathematics class? Lowest common denominator. Remember that? Yeah. One boy is asking that father, Dad, because he got his homework, you know, in homework, and he's asking that father, Dad, it says here, we have to find the lowest common denominator. What is that? He's asking that father. That father said, my God, since that time when we were in school, they were looking for that. They still haven't found that thing. My God, they'll never find this thing. But lowest common denominator of the universe is Sat. That was first thing. Second thing, there is nothing except Sat. Because you cannot show anything that doesn't exist. If we say non-existence, non-existence also exists as a concept, isn't it? There is something to which the concept relates. That also exists as a concept. What a wonderful thing. So yesterday, that will come just now. We were talking about knowledge. But the existence and knowledge is one and same in consciousness. One and same. So in this verse, it is about existence. You go on thinking, you will realize that there is no such thing as non-existence. I mean, there's only existence, one thing in the universe. You can conceptualize anything, any vacuum, any absence. Absence is also present. Means it exists. You see? So, there is a nahi sajjati. Jati hi icchate. Besides sat jati, or the category of sat, there is nothing. It's the most wonderful phrase. Now, before I continue, one more thing I must tell you. You know, all of the phrases which we are going through very fast. We have 28 verses, and we have to finish in 6 classes, right? So we cannot dwell on each verse and for the amount of time that each verse deserves. So that's why you will have to again read and study and do. And very important thing, vichar is the most important thing in this path. What you hear, see, in Sanskrit we have a nice line which says, acharyat padam adatte. From the acharya, one quarter you will get. Acharyat padam adatte. From teacher, only one quarter you will get. Padam, so shishyebhya, from all the other students and, you know, discussion group, and these were all what, by discussing, another quarter will dawn. Then, padam swamedhaya. Swamedhaya means by your own reflection, contemplation, intelligence, figuring out thing, you know, again and again, pondering. And last pada, last quarter, kala kramenacha. You wait only, by time only. There are many things in life that come by time only, isn't it? Life is like that. Many things that come by, so quarter, so now what? In this class, we cannot even get quarter of what is told there. It means we'll have to do this text over and over. But that doesn't absolve you from your responsibility of reflecting on what was taught on those lines. And so you go on. Yes, it's a very important thing. So when it says there is no second jati, no second category of thing in the world except sat. Oh, that statement is mind-blowing, you know. You have to go on reflecting on that, huh? You mean there's only Sat? Only existence? Yes, every single thing is made up of existence. The final building block, lowest common denominator, is existence. You give it thought. Now, that was Sat. Now, what about Chit? He says, now this will be number 23. Swarupameva me jnanam. Naguna saguno yadi. Anatmatvama sattvam va. Gneya gneyatvayo patet. He says, Swarupam eva me jnanam. My nature is consciousness. So what do you mean? Just now you said your nature was sat, existence. Now you're saying that your nature is consciousness. Jnanam. Here jnanam is consciousness. Swarupam eva me jnanam. There, swarupam eva me sattvam. Oh, now the only way those two seemingly contradictory things can make sense is if sattvam and jnanam is one and same. You see? Like that you have to study it. Huh? Let me tell you something. In Sanskrit, there is something called as uha poha vichakshana. Uha poha vichakshana means, first when I heard that word, I thought that was a very nice word, you know, and it is to make me feel hungry. Because poha is there, you know. Because I did not know Sanskrit and I heard that word. So I thought that poha is there. That uha must be chutney, you know. You can interpret chatra in whichever way you want, isn't it? A hungry man will interpret that to mean food, isn't it? Poha is poha and uha is chutney. Wow, wow, wow. But uha poha vichakshanaha is this thing. When we see two seemingly contradictory statements in shastras like that. So one says, my swarupa is sat. Here now, my swarupa is chit. Just now you said your swarupa is, how many swarupa you have then? It sounds contradictory, isn't it? So shastras have many statements like that and many times they will appear contradictory. Uha poha vichakshana means to develop that ability to see not how it is wrong or contradictory, but to see how it is right and congruent. You understand that thing? To develop that ability, that is called uha poha vichakshana. Otherwise, people set out from the beginning to show it is wrong. You know? And many people do that only. Especially these atheists and all. We set out only with a program to show how it is. They. Wrong. We set out to show how it is? Right. Atheists and all. They come up with all. Now in this country, atheists have church also, you know? I'm not joking. You see, that you do research, you will see. Atheist people have their own church on Sunday, they go there. And they it's an amazing thing. And what they talk about? The God that they don't believe in. All sorts of wonderful things. I love it, especially in this country. Anything you can conceive of it is here. Wonderful. So anyway, now there it says, my nitya is sat. Here my nitya is chit. That means to say sat and chit are one and same. After these three, you'll conclude with that only. Na gunaha. Chit also is not a guna. Just now, na dharma. I told you, na? Na guna, it is not a guna, not a quality. It is my very swarup. That's a swarupameva, my very nature. Now, saguna yadi, if somebody says, it is my guna. So consciousness is my guna. Oh, if consciousness is my guna, means a quality of mine, that means I am jara. Isn't it? Because anything other than consciousness is jara. The consciousness will be ajara. But the thing other than consciousness will be? Yeah. No, so in this case now, if I say, I am there and my guna or quality is consciousness, that means the consciousness is conscious, but I am jara. What a thing. How a jara person is knowing? Huh? This thing knows this or what? This is jada. It knows that. No. So he said, you cannot accept this thing. If I accept that consciousness is my quality, that still there is me and there is the quality. So the quality is conscious and I am jada. So in that my nature is jada. My nature is consciousness only. And just now, because of the previous verse, we'll have to say that consciousness and that means chit and sat are one and same. And we saw that previously. In beginning also, he had discussed it. Just now he separated all three in three verses. Three separate verses. Sat, chit, anand. See, anatmatvam asatvam va jnyeya. Agnyeya, agnyeyatvayoho. Patit. This is patit means this will be the result. The result will be if I accept this chit as a quality of mine, I will become anatma, jada. Anatma means that which is jada other than atma. And if I accept that my nature now is, or any other thing, look here, but just to cut that whole thing short, if I accept my nature to be any other thing than consciousness, I am in trouble. That is the conclusion, really. I mean, so many problems will crop up and I will not be able to answer. You know, the rishis were wonderful in this way. They have considered every single possibility. They have considered every single... This is the only tradition because of its age. It's so ancient that we had enough time to consider. Others still haven't had enough time yet. So how you'll consider? See, now they dug up Dwarka. They are saying it is more than 30,000 years old. From Gujarat, in the ocean, they have dug up this Dwarka. They are dating it now more than 30,000 years. These foreigners came into India and they told us, no, Bhagwan Shri Krishna was there only 5,000 years ago. They tell, na? We have been there considering these things for 1,000 in Trinidad. We say donkey years. Why? Because nobody have ever seen a dead donkey. Donkeys have been there for? Yeah. Some logic is always there, you know, for saying donkey years. It's been there for donkey years. So we've been considering this thing for such a long time that we have considered every possibility that is there. And out of all of them, we accept the best. Only this thing makes sense from every standpoint. You see? So if I accept myself to be anything other than Sat, Chit, Ananda, I am in trouble. My inquiry and discussion, everything cannot go forward. Because they have considered it so well. So he says, if I consider myself to be anything other than Chit, I become Anatma or I become Jada. That is the idea. And if I consider myself to be anything other than Sat, I will become non-existent. No, it's a contradiction to say I am non-existent. Anybody who says, I do not exist, that is the height of foolishness, isn't it? I do not exist. Anyway, in order to say it, you first have to exist. The mere saying proves that you exist. Now the last one, Ananda. We'll see that little bit now. See, number 24. Ahame vasukham nanyat nanyat anyat che neva tat sukham amadartham nahi preyaha madartham nasvata priyam. See, it says aham eva sukham. Now this is just now my swarupa is sat, then my swarupa is chit. Now he says I am sukham. Oh, just now you said you were chit, sat, Now you say in your sukham, again we have to equate. That means I am. And it is not that I am of three natures. We are saying the same sat is chit and the same chit is sukha. And so many times the word used is ananda. So here this word is used as sukha. Now, please pay attention to all of those little things and all, because sometimes it becomes very confusing. When Bhagavan says in Gita, for instance, sukha dukkhe same kritva, lava lava jaya jaya. Sukha dukkhe, in sukha and dukkha. There sukha is used as ordinary worldly joys. So the word sukha is used in Shastra to mean ordinary worldly joys. You know, like when you have the ice cream or you get the milk cake. Wow. Kya sukha hai? We say. That is worldly sukha. Here sukha is not worldly sukha. Sukha here is ananda, the absolute. So the word sukha is used for both in Shastra. Like yesterday, somebody was reminding also, the word atma is used variously in Shastras. So you need some traditional sampradaya to tell, well, this word means this in this verse. In that other verse, it means that. Be careful with that. So here, sukha is ananda. Ameva sukham. I am satchit sukham paramaham sagatim tuyam. Yat svapna jagara sushuptam aveti nityam tat brahmanishkalamaham nachabhuta sangha. There also, sukha is ananda. Satchit sukham paramaham sagatim tuyam. So, that pratasmarami mantra you chant when you are meditating and all. So, look out for that. Aham eva sukham. No, na anyat. Sukha is not different from me. My nature is sukha. It is not something that, this is the biggest mix-up of every jiva. This right here, this first pada. Why? I am looking for sukha there, not knowing that sukha is my own nitya. Here is where the biggest samsara starts and is perpetuated. Because I am always looking for sukha in that thing, sukha in that thing. And what is the line telling? My nature is sukha. Forget about chitana, satanol. Sukha is the thing we are all hunting after. Correct or not? We are all hunters. Hunting for one thing only. Sukha. I'll get a little bit of sukha there. And some people, you know, they always push it the sukha in the next moment. They push it the sukha in that moment, the other moment. When that happens, then I will be happy. When that other thing happens, I will be happy. So it's always in future. It's always in a different kal. Different desh. Or different vastu. Kala desha, verse 2. I pose it. I superimpose it. Then some people take that thing to such extreme. When I die, only I will be happy. That is a requirement for happiness or what? You don't know, you'll end up in narak or something. How you know you'll be happy? The funniest thing I have ever heard is this fellow who went to buy that cemetery plot. So he asked, near the entrance, how much is this plot here? $5,000. Then they walked a little bit. What about over there? How much is that plot? This fellow said, that is $10,000 for that plot. Right there to right there, $5,000 difference. Why is that more expensive? He said, you go there, you'll see the view. So $5,000 more just for the view. Like dead man can see view. Dead men tell no tales. They can't see anything or tell anything. But he thinks, if I buy that plot, I will be happy. They call desh. Space. He what the right space, that right place. Yeah, desh. Desh kalavastu. That's where we pose it, our happiness. We superimpose our happiness there. And there are people who do that. This world is full of that. You know, in these big cities now, huge cities, in this country, like Chicago or New York and all, these cemeteries, they're all full now. So space has become very expensive. And now they're not selling space. You know, if you put that coffin like this. They're not selling space like this anyway. Now they're selling space like this now. So there's no concept of rest in peace. Now you have to stand in peace now. Gone. All rest in peace and I'm just gone now. So you'll think, when I die, you please bury me in another cemetery over there, you know, so where I can rest in peace. What his happiness is when he's dead, now I'll rest in peace. But when living, you cannot rest in peace. You want to rest in peace when you die? Not going to happen. So our happiness, joy, we are looking for in all objects and things of the world. Even some people put it after death too. And we are saying, look, look, this, your nature is, our nature is happiness. Ameva sukham. Not when we use the word our nature and this, I am sukham. Not this is me and that I have some guna. No. Anyat. Anyat chet. Na eva tat sukham. This is a nice phrase, you know. If we consider my nature not to be sukha, and I think that thing is sukha, you see, that can never be sukham. That other thing could never be or have sukha also. Gurudev is to grant, you know, just for the sake of discussion. Acha, theek hai, when you drink that morning cup of coffee with cream and sugar, so good. Like that we say, na? So you say we get some sukha from it. So he's to grant that just to continue the discussion. That there is some sukha. He's to say, but it is short-lived. And when it is short-lived, it leaves a bitter taste on the tongue. Because anything that is sukha, nobody wants it to end. Isn't it? And anything that is dukkha, we want it to end. And neither happens. what a wonderful world we live in, isn't it? That which you want to happen doesn't happen. Which you don't want to happen, that only happens. You are going to Walmart. I do not want to see that Ramaswamy when I go there. When you go to Walmart, who is welcoming you there? Ramaswamy only is welcoming, isn't it? This world is like this. So we say, anything in the world which we consider to be sukha or have sukha, it can never be so. You know, if it were that, like that, that thing had sukha, right? First little logic. Anybody who came in contact with that thing will get sukha, isn't it? Well, you know, the same thing in the world will make one person happy and make another person miserable. Yes, same thing. So then we know that the sukha cannot be in that thing. Because fire has heat. Anybody who touches the fire will get burnt, isn't it? But sukham is not something like heat or fire. It's not a guna. It is our swarup. That is what he's trying to tell. Huh? So, amadartham nahi preyaha. If it weren't for me, that thing will not be there. If it, like I was giving you the example yesterday of the dog. If the dog sees stone, earth, gold, and dog chow, which is there? Dog chow is there, isn't it? When human being comes, gold is there. Now, remove human being from the picture totally. Anything is there in that thing? No. Now you put dog. Remove all creatures. Four things are there. Yeah. Not always same. There's nobody to add any value to any one of them. You bring dog. Which value he has? He has value to dog chow. No value to gold. You bring human being. He has value to gold. Where do things got their value from? When you remove everybody from the picture, no value. You bring one by one, that everything starts getting value. You bring an earthworm. Gold have any value for him? Earth, the cloud of earth will have so much of? Everything gets their value by some conscious jiva. That's how it becomes priya. It becomes lovable. Means, I love this earth. The earthworm will say, ah, I love this earth. What goal and what earthworm will do will goal. So everything in the world gets their lovability from a live jiva. Exist, yeah, that jiva who is sukha. His nature is sukha. We are the ones who are superimposing that sukha on that thing. This proves that the sukha is with us. My favorite story is that Mullah Nasruddin, he's trying to sleep on his upper floor, and there are children downstairs playing ball. And you know, when children play ball, they scream like anything. So Mullah could not sleep. So he came up with an idea. He put his head out the window and he told those children, hey, look, that Seth Ji down at the end of the street, he's giving free ice cream. So the children said, really? They all took off there to get free ice cream. While they were going, they told the neighbor's children. Neighbor's children told the other neighbor's children. Those children told the parents and everybody. And all of them got the message, they were all going for ice cream now. Then Mullah heard a great big commotion on the street now. Or the whole village on the street. Whole town. So he put his head out again through the window. What are you? Everybody's going down the street. So he came out now. Where are you all going? They said, that's it. He's giving free ice cream over there. You don't know? He said, really? He also now is going with that. What a thing. You only started the whole rumor, and now you also are going for that ice cream. So in the same way, I only put that value in the goal, and then I kill other people for that. For that goal. That's how human beings live or not? We kill. And we commit all our dharma, everything. Now when they did that demonetization in India, how much gold they found everywhere. Huh? Tons of gold. They evade the law, evade society. You use the government roads, use the public roads, use the facilities, use the whole country, use the banking system, use the whole infrastructure in the country, but don't pay any tax. A dharma or not? Because I put value in this gold, I hoard it, don't pay any tax. I put value in money, I hoard it, and commit a dharma. From one thing to the next. It all started with putting the sukha in other things. Then one trouble after the next. So he said, madartham nasvataha priyaha apriyam, that nothing in this world is there to itself or by itself. It is there only because I superimpose there-ness on that, because my nature is there. See, the one more logic we said, Jena, we like something which gives us happiness, isn't it? We like something which gives us happiness. Oh. If we like something which gives us happiness, something which gives us more happiness, we will like more, correct or not? By the same logic. And if we find the thing which we love the most, that means that thing gives us the most happiness. And we saw previously, everybody loved themselves the... That means what? That means myself has to be the source of the greatest joy, isn't it? From that standpoint also. I am the source of greatest joy. And things in the world do not have their own joy. I superimpose joy on them. That is the idea. Huh? And you see Guruji's notes and all. Very nice notes he has given. Because I told you he's following Swayam Prakasha Yati's commentary. So no need for me to go through. You could read that thing. I'm just telling the main ideas. And you see the notes and all, you'll get good guidance in all of that. Okay. Now, to bring all these three verses together, this next verse is given. Satchitananda. All three of them come together in this now. See. Nahi nana swarupam syat. Ekam vastu kadachana. Tasmadakhanda evasmi. विजहज्जागतीभिदाम् नहि नानास्वरूपम् स्यात्. माय स्वरूप इज नॉट नाना स्वरूप मीन्स दैट मीन ग्रैंडफादर स्वरूप है. नाना नाना इन संस्कृत इज नॉट ग्रैंडफादर. When I was just learning Sanskrit, that is to confuse me like anything, because in Trinidad, we call grandfather Nana. So I was thinking, what my Nana is doing in this book? In this? How Nana came in the scripture also? So Nana in Sanskrit means, Vivitha means various, many. Huh? So it means my Swarupa is not varied like that. My Swarupa is one. It is called Sat, Chit, Ananda. But that all those three refer to one thing. It is not. It is same Sat which is Chit. It is same Chit which is Sat, and both of which is Sukham. They are not three different things. Yeah. Ekam vastu. Kadachan. No question is asked with regard to that. How can one thing be many? Of course. I mean, how can one thing be varied? Then why did you say it was one thing then? You see? By simple logic. No, just know you're telling it is one thing. Then if you're telling it is one thing, how can it be varied? But please remember, in this now, it can appear varied. This is Vedanta, no? One thing can be there and it can appear varied. It can appear multitudinous. Like, for example, one moon in the sky. And you put 10 buckets. How many with water in them? How many moons you will see? So one moon is appearing varied and numerous. So it is possible from ordinary experience we know that it's something which is one can appear as many. Like, you know, some of those in some of those tourist places, they have these type of mirrors on the wall, you know, and the mirrors are arranged in certain places, like in certain ways. That when you walk in there, you are one. But how many reflections you see? Some of the reflection goes on endlessly as far as your eyes can see, isn't it? And that one is pitted against another one, and then you see countless me. And sometimes you see those movies also. And Batman is trying to cut that Joker, and he doesn't know which is the real Joker. Have you seen that? Because there's so many Jokers in that mirror room. So one can appear as many, that is something which is given. But one cannot be many. That is a contradiction in terms. Correct? That is why he's asking a question there. Or telling, making that statement. The one reality cannot be of many natures ever. Kadachana. Is that a question? Because this is never. Kadachana means? Never possible. Nahi kadachana, at no time. Tasmat akhanda evasmi, I am that one unbroken reality. Means I cannot be varied or many. I am one broken reality. Vijahat jagati midam, having cast out all this feeling of separateness and variedness and all such things from my mind, understand that I exist as the one supreme reality, undifferentiated. But appears differentiated. That is all. So an appearance is not the same thing as real. Appearance is appearance. It only appears like that. It's not real. Bhagavan Shankaracharya is one teaching this thing, you know, to his disciples. See, there's only one thing in the universe. Everything is an appearance. Whatever you see, it is just appearing like that. It is not really real. There's only one reality. In that time when he was teaching, you know, 10, 12 disciples were sitting there. And some, even nowadays we hear such stories. There was an elephant that ran amok. That elephant started tearing down the whole town, breaking buildings, trees, everything in its path. And people were screaming and running everywhere. Then when it came near that Gurukul, where he was teaching there, all his students and all, they got up and ran away. Well, Shankaracharya also got up and ran away. Then he hid somewhere over there. Then that elephant passed through and left a trail of destruction in that entire town. Well, after going, everybody peeped out, you know. He's gone. And they all emerged slowly from behind their hiding places and this and that. And Guru came back and all chelas also came back. Chela means disciple. And they all sat. So then that one chela, he put up his hand. He said, Guruji, you were only teaching before that, that it is not real. It is all an appearance. You were teaching it not real, all an appearance. And when that elephant came, how come you ran and you hid there? If it is not real, it's appearance only. He said, what? I appear to have run and hide. So you can't say that some things are appearance and some things are not appearance. Everything is an appearance. There's only one absolute reality, all the nanatvam, the varied variegation is only an appearance only. So, there's that great power inherent in the reality to appear varied, but not be varied, to appear varied only. And then, this varied, or this, see, varied means what? There is this thing, and there is this thing. So that is broken down. The variedness is usually broken down to a simpler understanding of duality. Varied means many. But for analytic purposes, it is broken down just to two. Because the moment you depart, there's a departure from one. The first departure is two. And then after that, 2 million, 2 zillion, gazillion, whatever. Right? So, but the first departure from one is two. And our first departure is this Jiva and Ishvara, you know. There's me, who is here, and there's Ishvara, who knows where he is. That is the important thing to each jiva. So now that is taken up here and told in the next verse. You see that. Parokshata paricheda. Paricheda. Shabalyapoha nirmalam. Tadasi tigira lakshyam. Ahameka rasam mahaha. He says, in the shastras is indicated tad asi iti. Gira, gira means words. Words in the shastras. What are the words? Tatvam asi. In short form is tat asi iti. Tat asi iti is tatvam asi. Thou art that. Right? So he says, in order to discover what thou art, that means what? I am that. I am that reality. In order to discover that, I will have to give up certain things. So what has to be given up? Parokshata, paricheda. In my mind right now, there's a shabalya. Shabalya means a mix-up. In my mind, there's a mix-up. A confusion, or wrong understanding, or whatever you want to call it. Like that, right? And what is that mix-up? I feel I am here, and Ishvara is there. The first thing. Second thing, I feel I am paricheda, I mean finite. I am little being, and he is big being. So, the first one is, Parokshata means I am remote from him. I am not, you know, he's somewhere. You know, all people start like that. One man is going to the mandir on Sunday morning, and by his door, as he exits, right by the door, there's a little niche in the wall, and little Ganesh is there. And he's going to temple. And he says, Bhagwan, sorry, don't be lonely. I am leaving you alone. I have to go to temple. No, what is this thing? See, he's thinking that Bhagwan is only here. All different type of concept people have. But somehow I am remote. Parokshata, remoteness. Or imperceptibility. I really don't know where this Ishvara is, you know. So there's mix-up is there in the person's mind. Confusion. And then the other thing, I am small. I am alpashaktiman. He is sarvashaktiman. I am little shakti. He is big shakti. So those type of things, he says, apoha, having dropped it, means having removed the conditioning. Now this is a whole process which is given for this Mahavakya. This Mahavakya is called as Tattvamasi Mahavakya. And for that Tattvamasi Mahavakya, there is a process of the elimination of the various upadhis. It is called as Jahala Jahalakshana. That process is a very technical sort of language, but it's a very simple thing. Look here. If you have a cube of ice and you have the whole ocean, right? From this cube of ice, you remove six sides, because cube has six sides. Then you remove all the edges. You remove name, means name and form in other words, right? Now, after you remove name and form from this cube of ice, what is left? H2O. From ocean now, you remove vastness. You remove danger. You remove, ocean has many things, right? You remove all the names and form from ocean. What is left? H2O. Oh. Now, H2O and H2O, what is the difference? No difference. The only thing you can say, because the example has a limitation, the cube's water will be here and ocean water will be there. But now, with the absolute reality, which is all pervasive, one cannot be here and one there. You see, you remove the name and form conditioning here, and you remove the name and form conditioning from Ishvara, from Jiva and from Ishvara. Because Ishvara is already all pervasive, it will be found that one is the other. Not within. One is the other. This is the idea. Tattvamasi Mahavakya Lakshyam. That is what is pointed out in the Shastras. And it will be discovered when we do that. I am Ekarasa, the one absolute, undifferentiated reality. Upashanta Jagat, you know, remove all, in this same way as we just remove the conditioning of Jiva and Ishvara, remove all conditioning. Now that is told in the next. See that. Upashanta Jagat Jiva. Shishyacharyeshwara Bhramam. Swatasiddhamanadyantam. Paripurnamaham Mahaha. Now see, we had just only two differences we had talked about. The Jiva and Ishvara. Now see how many. Jagat, Jiva, Shishya, Acharya, Ishvara. Now how many people? I told you it is simplified. First, we just talk about duality, two. But really there's a plurality, isn't it? Now there's all this plurality of all Jiva, Jagat, Ityadi, Vapre. And if you take each one of them, see, Jagat. Now in this Jagat, what variety is there? The variety is as endless as Ishvara. The variety in the universe is also infinite. Huh? Infinite variety. No two leaves on a tree is same. What a variety. So any one of them, multiplicity of infinite in nature. He says, all of them, upashanta brahmam. Means this delusion that they are all different and unconnected, that is called Brahma. Delusion. This upashanta means removing it, casting it out, taking it away. And then they're not different. Every one of them is made up of the same sat. Swatasiddham anadyantam paripurnamaham maha. And I am that one sat, which is self-established, self-dependent. I'm not dependent on anything. Swatasiddha anadyantam, beginningless and endless. Paripurna, full, complete, total. I don't need anything, anybody, nothing. Because I am everything. Paripurnam Maha, that great consciousness, I am. This is the ending of the text. It ends by telling, I am that great consciousness. Purna, full. That Purna is supposed to indicate to us, I really don't need anything. Why? Because I am everything. If you are everything, what do you need? If I am everything, I need nothing. That's why I like this American phrase. How are you? How do you do? I'm cool. I'm cool. You know? I'm okay. Because we really don't. We are everything from this standpoint of the reality. Not because I'm identified with this BMI, I dance to the tune of the BMI. So how long am I going to dance like a monkey to the tune of this BMI? You see, we all dance like monkey to the tune of this BMI. So you know, we have to just decide that for ourselves. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, yatha ichasi tatha kuru vimishai tadasheshina. I mean, after having thought about it, do as you please. Means how long you want to stay dancing to the tune of the BMI and all of its problems. That is up to. And I also told previously in one of the days, we have all the time in the world. Nobody is going anywhere. Where will go? Nobody is going anywhere. We are here. Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipaha nacheva nabhavishyamaha sarve vayamatappara. There was never a time when we were not. Nor is there a time when we shall cease to be. Is there going to be any time when we shall cease to be? We are always there. So don't get... If spirituality stresses you out, something is wrong, eh? Spirituality is not supposed to stress out a person. If he is stressed out because of spirituality, something is wrong. Jolly, happy, all the time. Sukha marga. Sukha gati. Sukha marga. Tatha. Okay. So... It ends here, I am Purna Satchit Sukham. And the last, that Phala Stuti only, very simply tells, Lakshmi Dharakave Sukti Sharadamboja Sambhritaha Advaita Makarandoyam Vidvat Bhringer nipiyatam. The two things are given in this verse. First of all, which is very obvious. One is Lakshmi Dhara Kavi, the name of the poet, author. Second thing, Advaita Makaranda, the name of the text. Right? So he says, this sukti, or these words, or these utterances, of verses prepared by Sambhritaha, prepared by, assembled by. I see Sambhritaha would also has some instruction. What is it? Assembled is one of the meaning. Assembled means what? Lakshmidhara did not create anything. Assembled, if you are assembling a car, all the parts must be there already or not? Yeah. So like that. It means all this Vedanta is already taught by Shankaracharya, Upanishad, everywhere. So Lakshmi Dhara Kavi is just telling, I assembled it. That is, humility is there, you know. I just assembled the whole thing. Sambhritaha means I put it together nicely so that it will be palatable, it will be understandable, it will be comprehensible, like that. I put it together. So these words, and they are like, you know, Sharadam Bhoja. Sharadam Bhoja means, Sharadam Ambhoja means they are like autumnal lotuses. And may all the wise people, Vidvat, may they be like Bhringa, Bhringai Nipiyatam. May all the wise people be like bees to come and drink of these verses, these lotuses of these verses. He has just put the petals together from Shastras. And they have become like lotuses of the autumn season. So may all the wise people in the world be like the bees to come and drink of the nectar of these lotuses. How nicely. is taken and assemble them together. And it's a most wonderful text. And I told you, and had it not been for our Pujya Guruji, we would not have known of this text. And people don't talk about it. Nobody talks about it. This is perhaps the only existing English commentary on this. And there is one Sanskrit commentary from the 10th to 11th century, which is given by 10th to 11th. I told you, by Swayam Prakasha Yati. So those are, and Guruji follows that commentary very well, so you can go on reading. So we say, we chant the first verse again as an indication for restudy. You don't stop like that. Kataksha kirana chanta naman mohabdhaye namaha ananta krishnaya jagan mangalamurtaye. Symbolically, we have started again. But now you'll have to continue on your own. Let's start. Okay, there we go. Advaita Makaranda. Title we saw in beginning also, so you know that. No, after.
Hari Om all. I was hoping.